mean, part of the key is understanding the dynamic of the media and how it works in relation to politics. If Martin Luther King were alive today in 25, nobody would know who he was because he'd never get on TV. Churches, all that stuff, that don't matter. There is a crisis in political leadership. There's a crisis in leftist leadership. There's a crisis in black leadership. With the black struggle, which is ultimately intimately tied to all things on the left, we have a bunch of sort of leftovers from the civil rights movement. And, you know, you've got people who are either media savvy, but their skeletons have caught up with them. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your point of view, they are no longer relevant to the discussion. Or you've got people like Al Sharpton, who I actually have a great deal of respect for in terms of his convictions and his desire and courage to stand up and say things that nobody else will say. But Al needs a media consultant. Bad. I mean, this is what I was saying earlier. Ralph Nader, I really like. He shouldn't have run for president because he's not media savvy. Michael Moore should have ran for president. People like Michael Moore. It's the same thing. But Michael Moore will make you laugh. Michael Moore knows how to deal with the media. The next generation of leaders has to be that sophisticated. You can't be so righteous in your disdain for the system that you don't use the system effectively to get to where you need to be. You know, there's a reason why underground rappers are underground. Because, like, they refuse to do anything that will actually let their music be heard. And then they get mad that nobody listens to them. You know, I'm a new musician. Well, I want to do songs, but I don't want to have hooks. Okay, then you're never getting a record contract and you're never getting played on the radio. But that's not fair. Okay. I mean, anytime you're dealing with communicating to the masses, there's a way to do it. And you can't just decide, I'm going to do it a different way, when no one knows who you are. You can start to change things once you have a certain amount of notoriety. But in the beginning, you actually have to get your message across somehow. It's like the Matrix. It's a fine parable of our time. If everyone's plugged into the same system, and you're trying to say something real important, like, hey, computers are running the world, but nobody can hear you because they're all plugged into the system, then you actually have to plug into the system. That's not me, is it? No, okay. Then you have to plug into the system in order to get your points across. You have no other choice. And that's where we're at today. Everybody is plugged into the same mass media outlets. That's the only place they get their information from. You know, Michael Moore, a stupid white man, you know, is out. It's put out by a publisher who's owned by some huge major conglomerate, Sony or one of them. Does that make him a hypocrite? No. Makes him smart. What's he going to do, publish a pamphlet? You're going to have meetings in his basement? The Boondocks does not run in alternative papers. It runs in the Washington Post. It runs in the New York Daily News. It runs in the LA Times. And people say early on, how come you ain't put it in no black papers? I want people to read it. I'm not doing this for myself. I'm not doing this for my friends so we can sit around and say, hey, look how cool this is. Jokes. No. If you're going to play the game, you really should play to win. How long has it been? How long are we going to do? What are we? Huh? You ready for questions? Who wants to ask questions? I'm not done, but we can. You know, okay, I've been instructed that you are to walk to the mic. If you want to be heard, if you want to be on TV.
Thank you for your speech. Just like to ask, when you talk about G.W. Bush's 90% approval rating after the attacks, and what exactly did he deserve that, then maybe what else do you think he could have done to deserve a 90% approval rating? And likewise, what would Al Gore or Ralph Nader or even Happy Canada have done to deserve a 90% approval rating with his temper level?
Well, that's a fine question. What Bush could have done, I can't speak for everybody else. But for me, what he could have done is said, you know what? 3,000 or so people died because my dad was an asshole. And I'm really sorry to all those brave firemen and policemen who died because we were just really trying to take over the world. And I'm sorry. So, and since I was never really elected, I hereby resign the presidency. To our president in exile, Al Gore. Now, what Al Gore would have then done is the same thing Bush is doing. He'd have bombed some people. I mean, look, who's the guy? I keep forgetting. Matthews. Chris Matthews? Hardball? You know, I don't like him. But in the days immediately following September 11th, and he actually might deny this now, but I saw him. He was on TV, and he actually said something that made a lot of sense. One of the few times he has. He said, part of me thinks a huge, massive bombing campaign is exactly what the terrorists want. Because it will prove their message to the Islamic world, which is that we are evil people and we want to kill Muslims. And that will help them get more recruits. So, you know, I think that the only way to go is to say, look, one, in fairness, we have killed more people on every continent, probably every year, as the United States of America pushing forth our agenda. Our foreign policy interest. We've killed more people than we'll ever lose. And that's why people hate us. And that's why people want to kill us. And he could say, you know what? If we call it war, they can call it war. Calling it terrorism is just a cheap shot. That's the way they fight. We fight differently. You know, we support an illegal, oppressive regime to go into countries and oppress the masses because, you know, those corrupt leaders are in bed with our corrupt leaders. Iraq. Saddam Hussein is so crazy, he gassed his own people. He used chemical weapons. Yes. And guess who taught him how? Colin Powell. When he was a part of the Reagan administration, the U.S. military was helping the Iraqi government plan and execute military attacks against the Iranians. They were using chemical weapons regularly on those attacks. Nobody cared. You know, Bin Laden. You know, remember Rambo 3? Remember who he was running around with? That was bin Laden. You know, I don't know if this would get him the approval rating, but what he could have done for me is tell the truth. Say, you know what? We're not nice people. We don't love peace. We don't love freedom. And we don't love nonviolence unless we're talking about when black people get mad. We're corrupt and evil and we don't deserve to be in power. Now, if he said that, I'd give him a pound. Yeah, but I do think Al Gore would have basically done the same thing. I think that if Ralph Nader, I like to think if Ralph Nader had gotten elected, which it's never happened. And if he had gotten elected, literally the whole world would be so different by September 10th. And September 11th would not have happened. I mean, you know, a lot of this hatred towards America comes from our support of Israel. Because, you know, quietly, I got a feeling that these people really don't hate American culture as much as they act like they do. These people know a lot about American culture, about American movies. American culture is a pretty powerful thing. But they don't like Israel. We keep supporting Israel. So every time they say an Israeli helicopter killed somebody, where did they get the helicopter from? They got from us. So every time you hear Israeli helicopter, Israeli F-16, just interchange it with American, and maybe you'll start to understand why these people don't like us. But don't get it twisted. You know, the Arab world doesn't love the Palestinians. They just don't like Israel. That's a whole different subject. I don't know if that answers your question or not. But, you know, as mad as you are, you say, look, you know, if it happened, you say, this is really wrong. One, forget our foreign policy. I'm going to resign because our domestic security is a mess. He should have resigned just off the strength of that. Just off the fact that every system put in place to protect us can all fail at the same time, four times in one day, is reason enough for a president to resign. Think about all the things that had to go wrong. The FBI had to fail. The CIA had to fail. The FAA had to fail. Airport security had to fail. But that's not all. The U.S. Air Force had to fail. I read somewhere there were 14 planes assigned to protect the entire northeast section of the United States, and many of them were unarmed. A lot of the planes that were scrambling had no weapons. What were they going to do? Tell them to land? Oh, our pilots were going to ram commercial jets to save a building. I don't know a lot of Air Force pilots. Oh, I'm sorry, Air National Guard pilots. But something tells me they don't exactly have that kamikaze spirit. It's massive failure on every level, and they need to be held accountable. Or he could come out and say, you know, guys, I really didn't win, and I've been having trouble getting some things through Congress, and I just really, we just got to get that oil, folks. I don't think you understand. Maybe this wasn't the best way to go about it, but we got to get the oil. You know, if y'all really want to drive electric cars, you let me know. But we got to get the oil. I mean, be honest. There's a lot of things he could have done. Hopefully they would have all ended with resigning. But there's a lot of things he could have done. He could have just said, forget all that. He could have just said, you know what? I will not be a part of a cycle of violence. We have resources. We have agents. We will hunt down those responsible. But we will not avenge the death of innocents with the death of more innocents.